If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
Court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
Dr. Lawyer, idiot chief. For my life is on screen with the yellow beer and beer besides.
Two Dudes Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer dude to judge.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
Well, how's everything going, Tommy?
Well, in this pandemic-shortened world, it's just going right along.
Pandemic-shortened?
Or lengthened? Or something like that. What was it? I saw a meme yesterday that said it had Bill Murray, and I think it was from Groundhog Day, and he said, "Well, we are now in day 161 of our 15 days to flatten the curve."
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the whole curve or whatnot. Seems like it's a circle. We're just going in a circle.
Yeah, it is Groundhog Day. Every day it's something new.
Well, I saw locally in West Virginia, it seemed like the numbers were down, but then I saw something else today that said they were back up again, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, they put in this whole intricate system of how counties could judge whether they could do high school sports or whatever, and it's a color-coded system. Green, yellow, orange, and red, and if you're in orange or red, you can't have any games in your county. Yep. If you're in green or yellow, you can.
Well, I did actually watch a little bit of college football last night.
College football was on?
Yeah, it was Central Arkansas versus Austin Peay, I think, was the game that was on last night.
Huh, I didn't think there were any games starting before next week.
Well, this was the, I don't know what they call it now, the football championship series, the FCS. So it used to be Division yeah. 2A.
1AA, yeah.
Yeah, but now it's this other thing, so.
Yeah, that's what Marshall was in before they moved up to the MAC. They won two national championships there.
Well, the one player for Austin Peay, they got the kickoff and then they got tackled, so that was first and 10 or whatever on about their 25. They hand the ball off to their running back, and he took it 75 yards to the house in the first play. I think he must have known that was the only college football game on, and he was going to have the primetime spotlight.
So you wanted everybody to see him, huh?
Oh, he took it to the house. It was a nice run. Yeah. So I didn't finish watching the game, though. I was kind of got bored with it, honestly.
Well, see, this was when Marshall was supposed to have played this weekend. This was supposed to be their 50-year anniversary since the plane crash game against East Carolina, which, of course, is the team they played that they were returning home from on the plane when it crashed 50 years ago.
Yeah. That game's canceled now, I think.
Yeah, it has. They'd moved it back, and now it's canceled entirely.
Yeah.
So Marshall's schedule keeps gaining and losing numbers. They've dropped four and then gained two, and now they've dropped one.
It's just like positive corona tests. It's up, it's up and down.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure is. So it affects all of us in one way or another.
It certainly does. Well, I saw something in the news the other day that I thought was kind of interesting, and I sent you a link to an article about it. It was about a lawsuit that is – been going on or been kind of brewing for a while between Epic Games and Apple, and also I guess Google as well. They're kind of in the mix too. Now, Epic Games is the creator of the popular game Fortnite, which we actually talked about that on our one of our episodes before.
Yes, we had an expert witness on here to talk about it, didn't we?
We did. Van was on to talk about Fortnite.
Yeah.
He was very heavily into Fortnite at that time. He doesn't. I don't think he plays it anymore, but he's moved on to other games. But
he'd already killed everybody and conquered them, so he didn't need to do it anymore. Me, I just stick with Animal Crossing.
Oh, that's right. You're big into Animal Crossing now, aren't you?
Yeah, I've expanded my house as far as it'll go, so I just go in and see Tom Nook every other day and have him change my house in some manner because he does it for free. And I'm just accumulating my bells because I have nothing to spend it on unless they have something for sale in Tom Nook's that I want. And I don't have any expansions to pay for anymore.
Hmm.
But it's still fun catching sharks.
I don't really understand too much of what you're talking about because I don't play that game, but...
You ought to try crossing your animals. It's pretty fun.
I might, yeah. I've actually kind of gotten back into another game I was out of for a while, Pokemon Go. So
playing with them Pokemans again.
Yeah, I kind of got back into that a little bit. And it's a good game to get out and kind of cruise around a little bit. Gives you something to do when there's nothing else going on. So,
well, just don't get too near them Pokemans. They might give you the COVID.
There's a new Pokemon called COVID.
Yeah, COVID man.
So
he's a spiky looking ball. I've seen him on TV.
I'm sure there's a Pokemon out there that looks like a COVID ball.
I hate seeing that thing. They put that graphic up there every time they talk about COVID. I'm so sick and tired of seeing that spiky ball. I hate that thing.
So Epic Games, their CEO is a gentleman named Tim Sweeney. And back in June, he kind of approached Apple about the Fortnite app and the way people pay for things on the Fortnite app in the Apple App Store. And he was kind of requesting that they would reduce the amount of fees that are charged to users, and because there's a bit of a kind of tax, for lack of a better word, that these different apps have to pay whenever there's in-app purchases. And he was requesting Apple to kind of lower those or change it back over so they could just be paid directly to their company. And so he had sent this email in June over to Apple, and he got a letter in response from Apple's attorneys, which he didn't think was very nice. And he responded, said, "I sent you an email and you responded with your lawyers." He's like, "Why can't we talk about this?" I'm kind of paraphrasing here. And
yeah.
And then he sent another email and said he wasn't happy with it. And then finally, on August 13th, 2020 at 2 a.m., he sent an email to Apple and said that Fortnite was going to cut out all Apple payments and have players use direct payments to Epic for any kind of in-app purchases. And this would be in direct violation of the guidelines for the Apple App Store because all payments have to go through the Apple system.
Yeah, they want you to go to the Apple Store because they take 30% of every purchase that is made through there.
Yeah. Which is,
and they like money.
It's good work if you can get it.
Yeah.
So his email said, "I'm writing to tell you that Epic will no longer adhere to Apple's payment processing restrictions. Today, Epic is launching Epic Direct Payments in Fortnite on iOS, offering customers a choice of paying in-app through Epic Direct Payments or through Apple Payments, and passing on the savings of Epic Direct Payments to customers in the form of lower prices." So immediately, he's setting up kind of a PR type move here where he's passing these savings along to all the players. So, you know, who wouldn't want savings, right?
Yeah, thinking they'll put pressure on Apple to comply so they could get the better price. But the thing is, nobody's going to boycott their Apple products. They just keep buying the phones and whatever else they put out.
That's very true. And now Google is in on that too. And because Google... Whenever this email went through, Apple immediately said, "Okay, we're going to take you off of our App Store," and Google followed suit as well. So they were kind of almost working in conjunction at that point, restricting the Fortnite app. So as I said, Apple has a very strict App Store, and they regulate. Like you said, one of the things they regulate is the payment, and they say that all payments have to come through them, and they charge, like you said, this 30% extra fee on it. But Fortnite the reason they said in part why they're doing this is because they believe that history and law are on their side. So they're trying to make this into like, you know, a crusade to stop the oppression from the big bad company. And it was kind of funny too, because they, you remember the Apple 1984 commercials?
Yeah.
Where they came in through the sledgehammer and Big Brother and all that.
Right, uh-huh.
So Fortnite, they did some commercials of their own, like kind of parodying that, that Apple is the one who's controlling everything now, and they're the ones coming in with the sledgehammer.
Well, they are. They are Big Brother and control everything. And Fortnite was successful in pulling this off one other time against another big vendor. And that was against Sony PlayStation. Sony PlayStation kind of came out with the same thing. They said, we want it played only on Sony PlayStation because that's the best format for it. So we won't let other ones interact with it, you know, because it's an interactive game. You play from all different settings and all different things,
right.
Formats.
They wanted to be able to do cross-platform play.
Right. And Sony PlayStation said, no, you can, if you do it here, you can't interact with the others. So Fortnite sued them, and they won that. So they were trying to do the same thing again, I think.
Yeah, I do think that the CEO of Fortnite, Epic Games, Tim Sweeney, I think he is a very kind of idealistic type person. It seems to me, at least, to be. he's willing to, you know, try to break down barriers and make it so things are a bit more open for the users.
Yeah, and Apple is a very capitalistic type owner.
Right. That is true. Now, they didn't used to be, like, you know, originally, like, their whole spiel marketing thing was that whole 1984 thing, like that commercial.
Well, but in a way, they act like they are a monopoly. They don't really have to yield to market forces because we're all so brainwashed. We're all so attached to our iPhones that they don't have to do anything. They can do anything they want, and you know, they're the 2,000-pound gorilla in the room, and you do what that 2,000-pound gorilla wants.
Yeah, and if he wants 30% of your banana,
then you give it to him.
Yeah, you give it to him.
You don't have any choice. There's nobody else that can stand up to him or do anything, and the American public isn't about to lose their iPhones.
The one interesting thing I noticed yesterday is I was logging on to the App Store on my iPhone, and because I needed to download an app, and there was a very prominent ad displayed for a game called PUBG, and PUBG is a direct competitor to Fortnite. The style of the game is almost identical. It's a battle royale where you're kind of dropped in the middle of nowhere. I mean, now arguably some of the gameplay mechanics are a little bit different. Fortnite, you can kind of build things and stuff like that, but they're a very similar type game. So if you couldn't play one, then you might want to play the other because it's they're that close. But I thought it was kind of funny that yesterday I log on immediately after they removed Fortnite and they have basically their competitor's game on the front page being displayed for an advertisement. It's like,
Hey, you're not missing anything here. Play this instead. So that was kind of like a double dig at Fortnite, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very petty and I appreciated it. I thought it was
very petty and you appreciated it? Well, as a lawyer, you thought that was fine work.
I can appreciate a certain level of pettiness. It's
yeah.
Now, Fortnite has filed a lawsuit against Apple, and they also filed for a temporary restraining order to attempt to keep Apple from removing, delisting, refusing to list, or otherwise making unavailable the app Fortnite, or including any updates. So they filed this lawsuit. Because the thing is, too, is that once people have downloaded the Fortnite app onto their phone, it's on their phone. But what the App Store can, what Apple can do is they can make it so updates don't come through, or so people are not able to download it for the first time. So if you have it on your phone, you could still play it on your phone, but you just wouldn't be able to get the updates and nobody else would be able to download it. So it's kind of like cutting it off, if that makes sense.
Well, and if you're indifferent, if you haven't gotten the update, it could cut you off from being able to log in.
Well, also, yeah, you're not going to be able to cross-platform play with other people that already have the update.
Yeah.
It'll essentially be a different game, so you're kind of cutting these people off.
Yeah, because you all got to be on the same update.
Yeah, and just think about how mad you would be if you did spend money on this app and you updated all these different things, And then now you can't play with everybody else. You're stuck on your phone and you can't get the updates. I'd be pretty mad about that.
Yeah, you'd probably have to go out and find a job instead of sitting around playing all day.
Now, the judge heard the arguments for the temporary restraining order the other day and actually issued an order about that. And it was kind of interesting the way that the judge crafted the order on this part. The judge said that the Apple cannot retaliate against Epic Games and completely remove the developer account. So you can't retaliate and just basically get rid of Epic Games off the App Store altogether. But Apple was able to take Fortnite app off of its App Store. That was okay, at least for the temporary restraining order.
Because they were offering Fortnite through this back door, basically, that skipped Apple Pay, right?
Right. And they were the ones who initiated that.
Yeah.
The court finds with respect to Epic Games' motions as to its games, including Fortnite, Epic Games has not yet demonstrated irreparable harm. The current predicament appears of its own making, the judge wrote, and said that Epic strategically chose to breach its agreements with Apple and thus disturb the status quo. So with regard to the Fortnite game, Epic was the instigator for this problem. Now, if it had been something different that Apple had done, that might be a different story. But Epic was the one who basically made the change to the agreement.
Like if Apple had been trying to promote this PUBG or whatever it was over Fortnite, and it quit making Fortnite available or something like that, then they might have a lawsuit. But since Fortnite said, we're not going to comply by your wishes, then they brought it on themselves.
Well, I mean, they still might have a lawsuit because remember, this was just for a temporary injunction. This was something they got, kind of immediately. And the general standard to get a temporary injunction is to demonstrate that there's some sort of irreparable harm that can be done unless the court takes some sort of action. And the court did not see that there would be irreparable harm. And that's mainly in part because, essentially, Epic brought the harm to themselves by changing the way the Fortnite app worked. So
what they could do is just go ahead and put it back on Apple Pay and then file the lawsuit saying, we don't want to do that.
Yeah. But the court did say that Apple can't completely retaliate against Epic altogether. There would be irreparable harm if that happened.
Yeah, because you damage them as a company if you can't sell the other ones, and then that might put them out of business. They might not ever recover from it.
Yeah. The other issues the court weighed were the balance of the equities and the public interest with regard to these two issues. And this was just for the temporary restraining order portion of it. So Apple and all persons in active concert or participation with Apple are temporarily restrained from taking adverse action against Epic Games with respect to restricting, suspending, or terminating any affiliate of Epic Games. That was the order that the language the judge said. So, they're going to restrict the fact that Apple cannot retaliate against Epic Games unilaterally for anything else, but with the portion to Fortnite, that was okay. Now, the preliminary injunction motion is to be filed by 9-4, and it's going to be argued on September 28th. So this is going to come to a head fairly quickly in this courtroom. And, we'll see what the judge further rules. But, for an emergency outset type temporary restraining order, it was kind of a mixed bag result for Epic and Apple.
Well, what do you understand the rest of that ruling where they said also, and I don't know why Apple included this, but they were talking about making their Unreal Engine portion not available along with Fortnite. And the judge said, no, you can't do that because there's too many third-party developers and other games that depend on this Unreal Engine that was developed and is part of Apple now.
Right, and I was kind of just simplifying the ruling there without getting into the Unreal Engine portion of it. But the Unreal Engine is the programming and the code that makes Fortnite work. So that's kind of the basically the program and the way it works. And they use that program, they sell it to other developers, and other developers have used the Unreal Engine for their games. And so that was the portion of the ruling that said that Apple is restrained from taking adverse action against Epic Games with respect to restricting, suspending, or terminating any affiliate of Epic Games as well. So that was, in essence, saying that Apple can't retaliate against anybody who uses that same engine that Epic Games has sold or was working with other developers for.
Yeah, they said that Unreal Engine basically sets a standard for today's games, that it's some kind of major breakthrough, and that it's even been used, if I understood it right, in movie development. I guess because the things they create look real and they're actually akin to CGI, if they're not CGI, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know which games use Unreal Engine, but I know that I have seen Unreal Engine pop up in the loading screen for numerous games. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the... I'm trying to think how I would describe that. But it's kind of like the background for all these other games. And there's different there's different kinds of skins that they throw over top of that change the look of it. But it's the underpinning or the blueprint, if you will, I guess.
Yeah, this is the top of the mountain as far as it goes in making these games these days. And so you don't want to... There's a lot of other small companies that would be put out of business if they didn't have access to this, if it was pulled off just to spite Epic.
Now, one of the interesting things, you're talking about this 30% fee that Apple charges, and Apple justifies that by saying that the cost of distributing software in the past was 50 to 70% originally, and that they have lowered that and essentially cut it in half. But Apple is basing that higher number for distribution whenever it was these software developers were distributing software to actual brick-and-mortar stores. So that larger number was kind of something that was not actually current in the App Store. It's how things used to be.
Yeah, it's just a download now.
Yeah.
I mean, what it doesn't cost them anything.
Epic's argument is that, you know, we're living in a different age right now, and the digital download should not be taxed that highly by Apple just for a simple click or a download. So I know whenever I download a game directly onto an Xbox or a PlayStation or Nintendo or something like that, a Switch, that the game costs the same amount that it does whether you go and purchase one from an actual store that has a box and a disc and all that. And to me, it seems a little strange that if you're not actually getting a physical product like that, that there should be some sort of discount for a digital download.
Well, you know, it costs less to make, as if there's not a box and there's not a disc, then nobody had to manufacture anything.
You didn't have to ship it anywhere.
Yeah, you didn't. There's no shipping cost or storage cost or advertising cost. It's just sitting right there. All you got to do is click on it and it's yours.
Yeah. So I that may be something that changes a little bit, and this may have some ramifications going forward.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing. All capitalism marketing practices are based on supply and demand. So the reason they can demand that is because people will pay it. If people wouldn't pay it, then they'd have to cut their costs to meet what the customers will pay. But they don't have any problem getting people to pay it.
That's true. Was it P.T. Barnum? There's a sucker born every minute?
Yep, that's what they said.
Now, when a court is determining whether or not to grant a preliminary injunction, the judge has to consider the extent of the irreparable harm, each party's likelihood of prevailing at trial, and any other public or private interests implicated by the injunction. And the other thing is that the parties can appeal the judge's decision on whether or not the preliminary injunction was awarded immediately. So that's called an interlocutory injunction, or interlocutory appeal. We've talked about that before. A case on point is the Winter v. Natural Resource Defense Council, which is a 2008 case, and the Supreme Court described the balancing test in a bit more detail. And the court needs to examine whether the plaintiff is likely to succeed on the merits.
The demerits?
No, not demerits, just merits.
Oh, okay.
Whether the plaintiff is likely to suffer irreparable harm without the injunction, and whether the balance of equities and hardships is in the plaintiff's favor, and whether an injunction is in the public interest. So, essentially the same kind of standard there that I talked about, that's kind of the common law thing, was laid out in this Winter v. Natural Resources Defense Council case. So in this case, the judge probably felt that, hey, I don't see much irreparable harm in not granting this immediately, especially since you were the ones that brought this upon yourselves, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens in a month or so, and if the judge changes her mind or if anything else happens. So,
Well, you could say that it would be in the public interest, though, because the public always wants to pay less.
Yeah, that's
they're true. Interested in that, you know?
That's
they're
true.
They're interested in paying less money.
Well, also the public interest, too, I think, is definitely affected by these unintended third parties, these different people that use the Unreal Engine and that are developers in conjunction with Epic. They would suffer harm from this, and they didn't really do anything to change the situation.
That's true. And, I mean, if you pulled that off, then everybody gets shut down, and you might have new businesses or whatever that they're working on their first game or something like that, and so they never even make it to market.
Yeah. So trying to get an emergency hearing like this is always kind of an interesting thing, too, as a lawyer, because you have to go to the court and try to get hearing time, and you have to say, I need a hearing immediately. And
do you hear me?
Yeah, and then the scheduling person will say, well, what's the problem? Why is it an emergency? And you try to explain to them why it's an emergency, and they go, well, you know, I don't know if that's an emergency or not. I'm going to put you out about a month. Like, no, I need to have a hearing now. So, you know, yeah. Even though when you file these kinds of emergency type hearings and things like that, it's the other part of the battle is trying to convince a court to give you hearing time immediately to hear your emergency. So
I got an emergency. You need to hear about it. I need a hearing to hear about it.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, crying wolf. If you say everything's an emergency, then nobody's going to believe you when it's actually an emergency.
Well, that's true.
So now you mentioned one other thing would be the monopoly issue about whether or not Apple has a monopoly. And that's part of the lawsuit that was filed by Epic. And that'll be something that's going to be determined later on. But right now, you know, this is kind of the preliminary jostling back and forth about whether or not Fortnite gets to stay on the App Store at the beginning.
Well, I think there's things like Facebook and Apple and some things like that that need to be broken up into separate companies, just like they did with Ma Bell back in the day when they decided the telephone company had bought up all its competitors and now was a monopoly. And they split it up into all the different ones so that you would have better telephone service and lower rates. And I think they need to do that with this.
I kind of see the point. It's definitely a tricky situation, though. I mean, I don't know how you break up Apple. I mean, do you have the App Store belong to a different entity? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to break it down by the components. I'm not smart enough to tell you what the different components are, but, you know, there's an advertising one, and there's a social platform one, and there's your gaming part. And so, I mean, there's a lot of different things involved.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit more complicated than breaking up the telephone industry like the Ma Bell situation you're talking about, because those are different localities and different, you know, that's geographically it's easy to figure where that goes. With an Apple iPhone, I don't know how you'd go about breaking that up. That seems to be pretty complicated to me.
Well, I bet there's people smarter than us that know how those things work, though.
You're probably right.
I know there's plenty of them smarter than me. I'm in about the bottom tenth.
All right. Well, that's going to bring us to
legal briefs.
So briefs. Got that last brief in there. So legal briefs is the part of the show where I ask Tommy different legal questions about the different things we talked about. And sometimes they're not such legal questions. They're a bit more kind of contextual type questions.
Well, just make sure they're in the bottom tenth of knowledge, because that's where I reside.
What is Fortnite?
Well, it's a game. It's a video game that you download and play. It's a battle royale game that you go in and try to kill everybody else. You get dropped in the middle of nowhere and try to kill everybody.
Yeah, that's actually pretty spot on. I didn't think you knew you would be able to describe it so eloquently.
Well, it's only because we had our expert witness in here to tell me all about it.
Yeah,
and I was thinking about 13-year-old Van or whatever roaming the lands by himself, murdering everyone in sight.
Yeah, he's 16-year-old Van now. He's driving around murdering people in sight.
Yeah. Well, he probably wasn't 13 then. He was probably 14 or 15, huh? Well, that was only about a year or so ago.
Yeah, the key phrase I was looking for was the Battle Royale, because that's the kind of genre that Fortnite has popularized. And now there's a bunch of different games out there that are these Battle Royale type games where you kind of get dropped in the middle of nowhere and have to survive.
Wasn't there a James Bond movie? It was like Casino Royale or something like that?
There was, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if they dropped him in the middle of a casino and they had to kill everybody or win all the money. Something like that.
Now, what is the competitor to Fortnite that is also a battle royale that Apple promoted on their App Store?
PUBG.
What did you say?
PUBG.
PUBG?
Isn't that what you said, PUBG?
It's PUBG with a B.
Oh, PUBG.
Yes.
I should have known that. It was a pub to drink in.
Yeah, it stands for Player Unknown Battleground.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know. I thought you said PUBG. I thought maybe it was a bunch of flat-faced dogs fighting each other or something.
You know what? I'm going to immediately go out and get some sort of trademark on that because we need to develop that game.
we'll use the Unreal Engine.
A pug-based battle royale.
Yeah. Yeah, arm your pug to the jowls.
That's actually brilliant, Tommy.
Well, thank you. What did I say?
What is the Unreal Engine?
The Unreal Engine is some kind of tool that they developed that is like the standard for now, that they create games with and make them look realistic and put the skins on the backgrounds and stuff.
That's correct. And it was first developed in 1998 by Epic Games, and it's used in a lot of different video games that are out there. And it's the one that Fortnite runs on, and it was also used in a bunch of other games. And the problem is that Apple was going to retaliate against anybody that uses the Epic Games, and the court recently said, no, you can't do that. So
it's evidently it's available through the App Store on Apple as well. And so what they're saying is you can't pull that one off along with Fortnite.
Right. Well, developers use that in conjunction to make other games and things like that. So,
yeah. And I think I read that they even use it in movies, but I might be mistaken about that.
That sounds reasonable. All right. Now the final difficult question.
The final difficult one? Before we start on the easy ones?
No, this is the final one, and it is probably going to be difficult.
Oh, okay.
What is the standard for winning a temporary injunction?
Well, it has to show irreparable harm.
Yep.
It has to be in the public interest.
Yep.
And you have to be able to prove clear-cut damages.
The last one is not correct. Part of it. No, not correct.
Yeah, I was guessing at the last one. The first two I remembered.
Well, the first two you nailed. The last one needs to be whether or not there's a likelihood to succeed on the demerits.
On the merits. That's not right. Not the demerits.
Exactly. That's a trick question. On the merits. So, will you be able to succeed on the merits? Is there some sort of irreparable harm? And are there any kind of public equities that need to be balanced to make sure that we come to the right conclusion? So...
All right. Well, there's one that I'm disappointed I didn't hear.
What's that?
I thought sure you were going to question me about what you call the hearing that involves those, and it's the interlocutory.
Oh, yeah. I asked you that two episodes ago, I think, though.
I don't remember that answer, interlocutory or something.
Yeah, that means that you can take an immediate appeal on it. You don't have to wait until the final outcome.
That they stop right now.
Yep. Stop and run right now. So.
So like if there's damages being done, you don't have to wait a month till somebody rules on it. You go ahead and stop until the ruling, and then you can go ahead and do it or whatever.
Well, you would just say, this judge got it wrong. I need to appeal this right now. So. Mm.
And that interlocutories them.
I don't think that's how it's used, but yes. Yes, sure. You are interlocutoried.
Yes, you are now... interlocutoried, and they put like a big lock emblem over you.
It's not how that works.
Well, I heard that Fortnite is coming out with a new updated version of their game too.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, it's called Five Night.
I got
it's the fifth one.
I get it, yeah.
They can't go to Six Night though, because people will confuse it. They'll say it wrong and they'll think it's a totally different game.
That game's already out there. It's only for mature audiences.
Yeah, use the Unreal Engine for those skins.
Lambskins.
Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief.
We're proud to be coming to you almost live from Smurl Studios, high atop Three Last Mountain.
And we want to thank Audio Boom for being a part of their network.
And we also want to thank the McElroy Stable Podcast for helping give us our start. Their podcasts include Bim Bam, Sawbones, Still Buffering, and many other fine offerings.
If you have the chance, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you like us. And if you didn't, don't bother.
You're not supposed to say that.
You're going to edit that out though, aren't you?
Why? You never did.
Thanks for listening. This has been Court Appointed. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude. Hello, and welcome to Tommy's Random Thought. Today's random thought is the college experience. My youngest daughter, Riley, just returned to campus for her junior year, but it is not the same as her sophomore shortened year. They left campus in March under the impression they would be going back, but as you know, things just kept getting worse, so eventually they gave up on the year and we went and got the rest of her stuff from campus in late April. They got on a few online classes during that time, but no one was really prepared for what happened, so there was no real plan in place for that to work. They just kind of gave up and said, here is a final test to take or a paper to write, and that will satisfy your class. They even encouraged most to accept a pass-fail grade instead of a letter grade. Basically, there was not enough of a body of work to give a letter grade, so everyone passed. So now, they have returned to campus, but not to class. All of the classes are virtual or online, which apparently is not the same thing. I don't understand the difference, so I'm glad I am the dad and not the student. This is a very precarious situation for colleges, however, as their economy is built around kids being on campus. Most colleges will not be able to sustain themselves if the majority of their students stay home and take classes online or virtual, which, as I said, is different for some reason. But I am going to just say online for now and mean both, okay? This financial impact is why colleges need kids to really want to get out of the house and come stay at college in their dorm room. Don't go out and take their classes online. But for God's sake, just stay away from each other. Unfortunately, that is not what they do. You know how parents kept saying, you can't send five-year-olds to school and expect them to keep a mask on and stay apart from each other? Well, the same goes for 18 to 22-year-olds. Soon as they hit campus, it was wall-to-wall, no-mask parties. Some colleges sent everyone back home, and some instituted strict policies with punishments up to and including expulsion. How would you like that on your college transcripts? They are expected to live on campus and stay barricaded in their dorm, apartment, or sorority/fraternity house, and don't interact with anyone. In some cases, the schools are delivering the meals to their dorm rooms, and they are not to leave to get food on or off campus. Wow, that would be hard. Public colleges are always stretching their budgets to try and add growth and opportunities to make their school stand out for future enrollment. So cutting revenue sharply for an entire year could cause some institutions to go under. At the very least, they will have to raise tuition when things return to normal or cut back on a lot of things they offer. What if, though, we figured out that we don't need to spend $100,000 to get a college education? What if we figured out that we don't need kids on campus and classes can just be held online? Maybe we only need one professor per topic, and everyone enrolled in that class pulls up the daily lesson of what he has prepared. We figure out a device that manages testing situations or just bring people on campus once a semester for testing.
While the entire college experience a lot of us had seems like a giant loss to give up, maybe there is a real upside to changing this process. Stay home and do your studies for hundreds of dollars and not thousands. Work at your pace and maybe get done in 2 years instead of four. You graduate with more time to achieve and less money to repay. I think online degrees are not looked upon as the same quality as the on-campus experience. But what if online was the norm? What if we perfect the method and make that more efficient? It not only would solve a problem of a pandemic, but it would also solve a big financial problem a lot of people are wrestling with anyway. This has been Tommy's Random Thought.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.